Swamiji, you mentioned two texts this morning. One was the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, but the other one, I didn't get the name.
Gheranda Samhita. Gheranda Samhita. It's not English, it's Sanskrit. Sorry, I didn't bring it.
Has it ever been translated into English?
Yes, sir, I've got a translation. You can copy it for me. There's only one translation. I don't know who published it. It's a nice translation. It's a bit more detailed than the Hatha Yoga Pradipika and little less philosophical. Gheranda Samhita. I'll show you. When you look at these two texts, they seem to be, the practices seem to be fairly non-violent. But here and there are suggestions in other texts that Hatha Yoga means some violent practice. I really don't know how they got the idea. In Yoga Vasishta, there are quite a few adverse criticisms of Hatha Yoga. Though the Yoga Vasishta also mentions pranayama in great detail, and some of the Hatha Yoga practices are also mentioned, like the purificatory pranayama we were discussing. But somehow, here and there are suggestions that Hatha Yoga is violent. They must have been doing something violent.
Discussions supposed to be specifically around your talk?
Not necessarily.
Is there translations of any material on Kundalini Yoga? That's
your Arthur Rowan's book. That's the best, I think.
That's the best.
There is very best.
There's no others.
That's the very best. Yeah. There are. As a matter of fact, Kundalini Yoga as such, has no text. Mm-hmm. Kundalini Yoga as such, it is either called Laya Yoga, it is or called just plain yoga, or Hatha Yoga, or things like that. They don't call it Kundalini Yoga. Mm-hmm. Only the master has written a book on Kundalini Yoga, and there are some Upanishads which also deal with the Kundalini aspect of it. But that's by about the best text you can have. Mm-hmm. I see that they have a lot of them, sort of cheaper paperback edition. Yeah. It's very lovely. There is, I think one of Swami Sivananda's books, I don't know if you have it here, called Swara Yoga. It doesn't deal with Kundalini as such, but it deals with pranayama. And again, you see how someone starts something and one doesn't know which way it rolls. Obviously, this your breath is connected with the cosmos. The breathing seems to have some relationship with the cosmos, the cosmic energy. And if you watch very carefully, you never breathe through both nostrils with equal intensity all the time. If you hold a bit of cotton in front of your nose, you will find that one nostril is more open than the other, even when you are not suffering from a cold or things like that. And they have even calculated that it changes every hour and a half or so. It starts blowing one side, then the other side, then this. Continuing on with that, they have even a technique for changing the flow of the nadis, Ida and Pingala. Yes, this is called Ida. We'll come to that tomorrow. This is called Ida and this is called Pingala. And this is called the moon and that's called the sun. Now we are getting into some tricky grounds. The left nostril is supposed to be lunar, and the right nostril solar. They have some technique, tricks to change the flow of the nadis. I don't know if you have seen what is called a yoga danda.
Shiva has one.
Right, Shiva has one on his armpit. Now, that is used by yogis to change the flow. That is, if your left nostril is flowing too heavily and you want to change it, you put that stick under your left armpit and lean on it so that the right nostril is on top, the left is below. And gradually it changes. You can do that even while sleeping. You find that the left nostril is flowing more freely, you turn to your left and sleep for a little, lie down for a little while, it will change to the right. And the armpits also seems to have some relationship to it, so that if there is some pressure on the armpit, it changes more quickly. And the yogi's idea is that if the breath flows equally through both nostrils, that's the mind is more quiet. Therefore, it facilitates meditation. Right. Is it all concerning that? There are some other rather way out practices too. I've seen only one or two people do this. Yogis want to be constantly in a state of balance. During the day, the solar energy flows everywhere, and therefore we are more active and agitated and so on. And how do you balance it? By insisting on the left nostril alone to flow. So they plug the right nostril, it's got null, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. so that they are forced to breathe through the left. And at night, the other way around. They plug the left nostril, so that throughout the night they breathe with the right nostril. These are all some...
Does that work in terms of balance?
You don't. It's not that simple. It's not that simple. All these are aids. And now, I mentioned the left is lunar and the right is solar energy. Immediately you hear these two words, sun and moon, your mind springs to astrology, yes? The solar chart and the lunar chart and of the horoscope. And they have built an enormous science or whatever it is of prediction, prophecy, fortune telling. And that's called Surya Yoga. There are fortune tellers who use this. You go and ask them a question, any question you like, immediately they have a cotton wool, piece of cotton wool. This nadi is flowing, that nadi is flowing to such an extent and so on and so on. And they begin calculating and they will tell you. It's good, you will succeed, you will not succeed, etc.
We do it under the person's nose asking the question?
I don't know, I think they look at their own nose. I have no idea. And I only read the book. I don't know the... I've never seen anybody do that. There's a book called Swara Yoga. And then there is also an elaboration of the same theme. What is good to do when? When the left is flowing, it's good to do some things. And when the right is flowing, it's good to do some things. And when it is balanced, it's good to sit and pray and meditate and so on. When the two nadis are flowing in balanced state, they say, don't run around and engage yourself in physical activity. So it starts somewhere and it seems to go somewhere completely. Here.
Does it have anything to do with the left and the right sides of the body?
You see? And therefore a whole system of therapeutics gets worked on it. Like this zone therapy.
For instance, say somebody who's
luckily
right.
Luckily for you, they have a theory that the ida and the pingala do not go straight through, they crisscross throughout the body. But there are concepts which answer to your question too. Yes. This is right side and left side.
Because most people, I'm not sure whether this is just a matter of practice, or it's, some people are right-handed. Their whole left side of their body is less coordinated, less strong, more prone to illness. And
that may be due to pure habit pattern.
And would those people be breathing much more through one nostril than through the
not.
Other?
No, I hope not. No. This
could you strengthen the side by... say somebody was...
Possibly.
Injured or paralyzed or possibly. Something on one side.
Possibly. Again, I hope you realize my reticence and my reluctance to get involved in this kind of therapeutic jugglery. This is something spiritual. Why not go and see a doctor? If there is some kind of physical disturbance, why not go and see a doctor? Why must I deprive him of his livelihood?
Because they're jerks.
It's unfortunate that it starts on wonderful footing and then even the mantras again. They were all manana trayate iti mantra. I am supposed to repeat the mantra and see God, attain God realization, self realization. Then somehow this mantra gets into all kinds of bylines. Someone repeats a mantra and that works, that your headache is cured. And now I stick a board outside. If you have a headache, come, I'll teach you a mantra to get rid of it. But it's inevitable. We are body bound, and I think anything that we lay our hands on will be physicalized.
This left right thing is pretty much the tantric system as far as incorporating the spiritual with the physical. In other words,
that's a bit different. That's slightly different. That is what is known as Vamachara, the left-handed practice. That's if you do it clockwise, they would do it the other way around. If we say Om Tat Sat, they turn that also upside down. Sat Tat Om. Everything is turned upside down. And if we say Soham, they will say Hamsa. Everything has to be reversed. And so if you are proceeding there, they are proceeding here. They are going more materialistic. And what you renounce out of fear even, let's say, eating meat or wine, drinking wine or sex and so on, if you push it aside and they take it on, take them on, they say, why not, what's wrong with that? Good, it's better. It's more like black magic type.
Yeah.
And we were, I don't know if you were there in the dining hall, in Italian, and I presume therefore in Latin, this is called dextra. The right hand is called dextra, and the left is called sinistra. And if you transpose it into English, dexterous, you are efficient, your right hand is efficient. And the left hand is sinister. Yes. Black magic. Unless we are particular, I mean, I was telling you all this just for the sake of information. But the main thing is to get back to the source and to see what this prana is. What exactly do I mean by prana? What exactly do I mean by life? What is the life force and how do I live? Huh? I live. The secret, the whole essence is contained in these two words. I live. What is living? And what is I that lives? That's all the spiritual part of the whole yoga practice concerns itself. I live. What is living? And who is I that lives? It is when the life force or prana moves in the mind stuff, generating this I thought. The I thought is born and the world is born. As soon as I arises, you arises. Right? As soon as the concept or notion or thought, I arises, you arise. If you watch yourself as you come out of sleep in the morning. So it is prana moving in this mind stuff that creates this feeling I live. By getting hold of prana, I'll know what the I is. Or by getting hold of the I should know what the prana is.
What happens when the I disappears?
That question assumes that the I is there. Now.
Okay. When the feeling of I disappears.
What happens when the feeling of I disappears? I don't want to give you the why not? Use the classical example. Give it the classical example. It's getting dark. And you enter into this room. Like a snake. You jump up. And she's walking behind you. She has a flashlight. And as soon as the light of this flashlight hits the snake, he eats wire. What happened to the snake?
It was seen for what it was.
What happened to the snake? You saw the snake there, you jumped up, and then when the flashlight is turned on it, you don't jump up anymore. But what happened to the snake?
Wasn't there in the first place.
And what was there in the first place?
Piece of wire.
And it continues to be there. Something has gone? Mm-hmm. What did... what went?
The idea in your head that it was
all.
A snake.
That's all. When the idea of I is gone, what was, is, will be, remains unchanging. And I believe that is the meaning of the famous word. I am Orthodox Jewish enough not to pronounce it. You know the tetragrammaton that they use? God's name, Adonai. I believe that is what it means. It does not mean I am.
I that am.
I that am. It doesn't mean I that am. You see, unfortunately, that's the unfortunate part of it, because you don't have a word which signifies the exact meaning. It that includes I that am was will be. If you can put that as a new word, one word, AMWASWILLBE is one word. I don't know, I don't care how you pronounce it. So that is exactly what it means. I am as was will be. high that I am was will be. And that remains, yes? When the I is gone, that's all that remains.
Start getting rid of the eye and the ego.
Well, again, you are. How do you start getting rid of this snake? There, it was not there.
By taking your mind off of it, or by letting the idea of I go and not dwell.
So, how did she get rid of the idea of the snake there? Light.
By exposing it.
By exposing it, right? Correct. Bringing light in and by exposing
it. Being aware of it each time you're using it. Right?
Hmm?
By being more aware of it each time you're using it.
Mm-hmm. Did she what pick up the snake and start rattling it?
No.
No. Light is necessary.
More aware of
it. That, right. And therefore, even here, even in this Hatha Yoga, even in this Pranayama, instead of getting the whole concept of pranayama run away with me, trying to fortune tell and then heal and trying to get rid of paralysis and so on and so forth. All this is going to confirm the fact, right, that I am, I'm a very terribly, terribly important person. Instead of doing that, can I, with the help of pranayama, with the help of inquiry into this livingness, life force, get to see what is this snake, what is this illusion, whatever it is. I don't know if it is an illusion. She doesn't know. While she still looks at it and thinks it's a snake, she doesn't know that it is not a snake. What is it? So, can I use this pranayama method, watching the prana and doing the pranayama, become more aware of where this I thought arises? How do I breathe? And even I hold the breath, who kicks me up and makes me breathe again? Why am I afraid that I may swoon? Why am I afraid that I may go into a coma? Why am I afraid that I will die? Bringing yesterday's discussion into this, whenever someone frightens you, or you yourself get somehow frightened, I may collapse and die. Close your eyes and say, nonsense, I am... The other side of the birth certificate is death warrant. You cannot have a piece of paper with only one side on it. try how you like. You cannot have a piece of paper with one side on it. Peel it off, it gets four sides. Not one side. So, the other side of your birth certificate is the death warrant. What am I afraid of?
Is this whole thing connected with taking your mind off your physical being as well?
What for? It is there.
No, but we were talking yesterday.
My physical being.
No.
My physical being.
Not dwelling on it, not concentrating on it. So is that tied up with
I think the only way in which that question can be answered is the direction. There is a change in the direction of the vision. The eye consciousness is directed outward, and so it sees the body as something which belongs to me, that sort of thing. And when that whole thing is turned within, the body is still the body. You will still eat and you will still drink and you will still sleep and you will still have your family life and everything will go on. But instead of the light being turned externally, it's turned inwardly, and so that all the time you're looking for it. You're looking for something. What exactly is the meaning of this? If there is pain, well, there is pain. What's wrong with pain? Ah, it, no, it hurts me. I'm of me. Where? That's it. I'm not avoiding anything at all. Why must I avoid pain? Why must I avoid pleasure? Without giving any of these more value than it has, can I be constantly watchful to see what this mystery called I is? Then immediately I discover the millions of ways in which the I gets away with it. Like the feeling, for instance, that, well, I don't want to die. Then you suddenly wake up and say, good heavens, you are destined to die, my friend, don't worry. No, come. Now what do you not want? Oh, I don't want to... I don't want to suffer. Without making it intellectual, without making it logical, because then again you are the I gets you there. In logic, in intellectualism, in rationalization. So merely you are looking at it, okay, you don't want to suffer? Well, there is a state in which you don't suffer, sleep. Where were you when I was asleep, when there was sleep? And what is it that is awake now that was not awake in sleep? Then you realize that pain cannot be avoided by running away from it, but by owning it. In sleep I didn't run away from pain, the pain was there, probably. And so while being awake, while dreaming, while sleeping, there's this constant awareness of what goes on. It is then that the light shines on it and I see it's only a piece of wire and there's no snake there. The wire is still there. So that the body is there, no one is going to deny that. The life force is there, no one is going to deny that. And consciousness is there, no one is going to deny that. Except the idea of a snake, the idea of the eye. It's quite simple. Terribly simple.
It all is. It's just...
That's why the anticipation of something is always seemingly worse than the realization of the
yes,
fact.
Sir.
Because
yes,
in the anticipating something, you're always imaginarily putting yourself there and seeing yourself doing or acting or being. But once you're actually doing and you get involved in it, you're no longer aware of your own being. And you're no longer aware of yourself, so there's no...
As a separate entity, yes. And also, that's another thing we learned from Hatha Yoga. Someone, who was it? Where is Vasilis? He said that sometimes he had a headache when he stood on his head. And even that, does your eye become red when you do the headstand? Anybody here? You know, noticed it? Some things happen when you stand on your head. The thought that this happens when I stand on my head does not make your eyes red now. The body refuses to anticipate. The intelligence in the body refuses to anticipate. Someone looked at his stomach, a South Indian, a mystic, and said something terribly interesting. He said, my God, it's difficult to live with you. He is addressing the stomach. It's terribly difficult to live with you because you are the most horrible creature. Why? I tell you, I am going on a long trip. For 3 or 4 days, it's possible that I don't get any food. So fill up. You say no. Again, I say, all right, I'm going on a long trip. Have something to eat now and forget it for 4 days. You say no. It does not anticipate what might happen. You put some food into it, it starts working on it. And when it is empty, it howls. That's it. That's one thing we learned from Hatha Yoga. That the body acts, it's not even in the present. The body acts from moment to moment. That's all. If your brain has not registered some unhappy memory or whatever, incident or whatever it is, the body would ignore even that. It's only when the brain interferes that you get, spasms, unhealthy spasms, unrealistic spasms. Therefore, left alone, the body, the life force, the intelligence in the body, they can take very good care of themselves.
Swamiji, but not in relationship to what happens, or so it seems to me, like a child doesn't know that fire is...